What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here, and I am super excited to tell you that we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Medgene. It's a new day in animal healthcare, and Medgene is wide awake. Medgene is the first USDA-licensed producer of prescription platform vaccines. Medgene's prescription platform vaccines help veterinarians in the swine, cattle, deer, and rabbit industries respond faster and more efficiently. Learn more about Medgene's prescription platform vaccines at MedgeneLabs.com. That's MedgeneLabs.com. Or better yet, follow Medgene on Facebook and LinkedIn. Medgene, it's a new day in animal healthcare. What is up, everybody? Dr. Joe Armstrong here. It is approximately 2 p.m. on 7/11/24. It's going to be quick today. We got just a few updates, not really updates. I got some opinions as usual, and then we'll move on because I don't want to be on here talking for 30 minutes today because there's just not enough to justify me rambling for that long. All right, let's look at a national level in the states that are impacted. We've got Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Wyoming, Idaho, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio, and North Carolina. That is for the total outbreak length. There's 146 confirmed cases, and there's 12 states affected. Now, the interesting thing is if we look at the last 30 days. So if we look at the last 30 days, we're looking at Texas, Colorado, Idaho, Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. That's it. So are those other states no longer impacted? Did they not have cases? All I can say is they don't have confirmed official cases. Do they still have impacted dairies? I don't know. In Minnesota, based on what we have 8 total confirmed dairies in Minnesota with H5N1. We know there's more than that out there. So I would suspect similar situation in other states as well. All right, counties in Minnesota, we have Sibley, Benton, Lincoln, Kandy Ohi, and Morrison. There are several dairies in Benton County that are officially positive. So that's where we stand in Minnesota. Here's what we need to talk about next. There's been a couple of questions that have come up, and I think it's important to address. We've got just a few things to go through, and we're going to keep it brief. Here's one that keeps coming up, and I think I've talked about it before. When we talk about programs, control programs for H5N1 in dairy cattle, we cannot compare that control program to what happens for high path avian influenza in poultry. It is a very different disease process. High path avian influenza causes mortalities in poultry and requires a depopulation event. That is in no way similar to what happens when the virus is in cattle. Cattle do not die, and we do not require a depopulation event, and we won't. So we cannot compare the control programs. We cannot compare the payment plans between the two programs because it is not in any way the same disease. It's comparing apples and oranges. If you want to compare control programs, the much more appropriate comparison is with low pathogenic avian influenza in poultry and H5N1 in dairy cattle. That is a much, much better comparison. And if you want to look at those control programs, that is where we should start. We cannot compare highly pathogenic avian influenza control programs to H5N1 in dairy cattle in most ways because they are completely different diseases when they are in their respective species. All right, that's all I'll say on that one. The next question that keeps coming up is influenza tends to have fewer cases during the summer because influenza viruses like cold, wet, and dark. That's what they love. So in the summer, we tend to see fewer cases of influenza, but we are continuing to see cases in dairy. We're continuing to see cases in commercial poultry. And the question is, I thought we were going to see a lull. Why haven't we seen this lull and get a break in the summer? And my response has been, how do you know that this isn't the lull? Maybe this is as good as it's going to get for the summer, and it's going to get drastically worse in the fall. We have no way to know where we sit right now. Is it possible that we are in a lull and we are seeing not that many cases right now compared to what we're going to see in the fall, that's absolutely possible. So keep that in mind. Maybe we are experiencing the summer lull as it relates to influenza, and maybe it's going to get even worse in the fall. We have to take that into consideration as we make our plans. All right, final issue. I told you this would be short. We've had a lot of county fairs start. We've had some county fairs do what I think is the right call and not allow lactating dairy cows at the county fair. But we have a lot of county fairs that are still going forward with having lactating dairy cows at the fair. My call today is for some leadership at the state fair level. I think the state fair, just like all the other fairs and exhibitions, I don't think lactating dairy cattle should be at the state fair. It's too much risk. We've talked about this a lot, so I won't hash over all of it again. But if the state fair takes that leadership position and says, hey, we're not going to allow lactating dairy cattle at the state fair, that will make the job for these county fair boards so much easier. Because if you can't go to state fair anyway, then you don't have to be at county fair to qualify for state fair. I think it would make everything flow a lot smoother if the state fair made what I think is the right decision and say, no lactating dairy cows at the fair. There's too much risk to other cows, the poultry that are there, and potentially to the public as well. Perfect statement, done, decision made, and I think that will help the counties a lot. So that's my ask. I think there's plenty of science behind that opinion of not having lactating dairy cattle at the state fair. Data, research is all supporting that there is too much risk associated with having lactating dairy cattle at the state fair, regardless of whether or not they are tested prior to coming to the state fair. That's my take. It's my opinion. I think it's backed by science, and I think there's plenty of evidence. Anyone wants to talk to me about it? I'm happy to take your calls and your emails. Just get in touch. All right. I promised it was short. Questions, comments, scathing rebuttals, the moosroom at umn.edu. And you can call me 612-624-3610. Check out our website, extension.umn.edu. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll catch you next episode. Bye.